Let's all turn together to the portion we were reading, Luke chapter 2. You give attention to the opening words in the verse 36. And with God's holy word opened up before us, let us ask for help from above, even the presence of the Lord in this place. Our God and Father, we bring thy word to thee. Thou hast spoken to us in days past. Thou hast helped and blessed us. We thank thee for those occasions when we have met with thee, when thou hast directed our steps, when we got comfort from above, when we got help from God. Lord, minister this day. I pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God himself. I ask, O God, for the anointing to preach, and grant that in this house the presence of the Lord may be overwhelming. O Lord, leave us not. We think of these times, Lord. There are times when some may find it hard. Some may have come across discouragement. Someone else battling with coldness. Lord, we need thee this day. We ask thee to walk with us, Lord, from this day on, and in a closer relationship than we have known. Lord, why should we limit thee? Why should we limit thee to what we have known of past days of thy presence? Lord, the best is yet to be, and we beseech thee, cause thy face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lord, lift up our hearts, lift up thy countenance upon us, and O God, see to our well-being and to our peace. Lord, we're looking for revival still. We want to talk about that. We want to mention that to thee. Lord, don't forget that prayer. Don't forget that prayer about this congregation, about this house, about our lives too. Lord, leave us not. We beseech thee in such a time. We pray now for help with thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak about a dear old lady who walked with God. You can read about her there from verse 36. In Luke chapter 2, verse 36, through to the verse 38. Anna is a prophetess, the scripture tells us. She belongs to the tribe of Asher. And it's clear that she is a woman of great age. It's maybe a delicate thing to talk about the age of a woman. And even here, the Lord doesn't fill in the final detail, you'll observe. But we have enough information to say that she's advanced in years. For one thing, the scripture says, if you look at verse 37, she has been widowed for 4 years. And that's more than the average lifetime for some. And then the scripture also tells us, the verse 36, that she had been married for 7 years. So if we put the two figures together, 84 years widowhood and the 7 years of marriage, that amounts to the grand total of 91. So there are 91 years there to think about. Then the question arises, what age was she when she got married? Well, she could have been 16. I'm not plumping for that figure. I'm just using that as a starting point. Of course, she could have been older. She might even have been just a little bit younger. But let's just fix on that figure for the purposes of illustrating the point. And when you add the 16 to the 91, you get 107. So when I said a moment ago, I want to talk about a dear old lady. who has walked with God, surely it can be said of her, she's at least 107 years of age. And the facts show that she has served the Lord all the days of her life. That's a marvelous testimony. And as a prophetess, she has declared the word of God also. And then you look into the family lineage there, for that is mentioned. And I cannot myself see any reason why we have such a list of names in verse 36 if we're not to consider the meaning of those names. And this we ought to do, because once we do that and we string together the meaning of these names, and I emphasize I don't see really any other point in having the names there unless there is that significance to attach to them. Because we don't know anything about Phanuel, and we do know at least something about the tribe of Asher, one of the 12 tribes of Israel, of course. And some detail is given, a little detail, about the tribe of Asher. So why, I ask, why this information, unless the Lord would have us thread together the meaning that belongs to the names? And when I do this, these are eminent names. When I do this, it's like a spiritual history to me. Probably. Anna's own history. Her spiritual history. For I believe when we see these names and their significance, then we can say this really describes Anna too. If we take Anna itself, which is the same as the Old Testament name Hannah, then this name, Anna, pertains to the grace of God. That's where salvation starts, with God's free saving grace. Then there is Phanuel, and that means the face of God. And once more, we have Asher, which has to do with joy and blessing. Thus, it's my view, Hannah can say, God has been infinitely gracious to me. That's Anna. And he has allowed me to gaze upon the face of God in prayer and in the holy place. That's Phanuel. And because I have spent time in his presence just gazing into his face, what joy, what heavenly delights are thrilling my soul. That's Asher. You should look at Genesis chapter 30 just to pick up on the name of Asher anyway, because I think that's the key point here in these names, to look up at Genesis. Genesis chapter 30, we go back to the birth of Asher, one of the sons of Jacob. And you look at verse 13. Now the meaning of some of these names, although I have tried to spell it out as deliberately, as clearly as I can, yet I concede that the meaning of these names can just take wings and fly away from you. I don't want you to forget the meaning of the name Asher. It's the key name here, I think, since that's the tribe Anna belongs to. Asher is supposed to be one of the lost tribes of Israel. Really, there's no such thing, because all those who belong to these tribes are known to God, and the Lord, in the eventuality of time, will bring together the elect of the family of Jacob, and they'll be there from every one of the tribes. Here's verse 13 of Genesis 30. It concerns, as I say, the birth of Asher. And this will explain, with infallible words, why Asher was given the name he had as a newborn babe. There has to be a reason, you see. These names have meaning. There's a significance in them. And it's not coincidence at all that the names appear as they do in the record. We all believe in the inspiration of Holy Scripture. We know then on that account God has given every word in the book, and so he has. And here's the meaning of Asher. Have you got verse 13, Genesis 30? Look it up, and again use the pen. I think you ought to use the pen, because you know we have failing memories. And sometimes even smart people, whenever we come across them, they begin to lose track of things too. So the rest of us will have to use the pen and make sure we have put the marks in. Now, notice the words. And Leah said, "Happy am I." Think of that. "Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed." And she called his name accordingly. She called his name Asher. So if you've got that pen there, draw a line under the word happy. Have you got that? Draw a line under the word blessed in the verse 13. Now, this doesn't follow every time you see the word happy or the word blessed, but it does here. For the word happy has a direct connection with Asher. The word blessed in this verse has a direct connection with Asher. And now you can see the twofold idea in the name of Asher: to be happy, to be blessed. Having gained that information, and that's exceedingly important, having gained that information, come back with me to Luke's Gospel chapter 2. Now here we're considering the pedigree, the family line of Anna. And we have learned that she belongs to the tribe of Asher. And I have suggested to you, and I certainly believe this, the Holy Spirit has introduced the names not just to tell us, well, the lady in question did have a family pedigree, but it is the Lord's purpose, given the kind of book this Bible is, to tell us the meaning of the names. And there, the Lord has been gracious to her. That's the way I see it. God has been exceedingly gracious to her, in that he has allowed her to gaze upon the face of God. And being occupied with him, taken up entirely with heavenly things. Oh, bless the Lord for this. She says, "Happy am I, for the Lord has blessed my soul." I tell you, the message is abundantly clear, that if we have a visitation of God's grace and we spend time alone with the book and with the Lord himself, gazing upon his face, you'll have to say, you'll want to say, you'll automatically say, "Happy am I." Oh, I tell you this is the way of happiness. If I speak to those who are older, to those who are younger, and you're looking for the right path in life, hence, one may say, "Oh, well, I haven't had much joy. I haven't had much to thrill my soul." Won't you follow in the steps of Anna? Won't you consider the message in her family lineage? Won't you think about this occupation she had? What a thing this is to learn about her. "God has been exceedingly gracious to me," that's Anna, "to allow me to gaze upon the face of God," that's Phanuel. "And I am happy, and the daughters can call me blessed." I'm blessed of God. There's no mistake about it. It's no vain thing to seek the face of the Lord. And when you're before God, you're blessed indeed. You're enriched in your own life with that joy the Lord gives. And no doubt Anna could say of one time and then another and yet another, and certainly on this day that's mentioned in her life, when we have reckoned she's maybe 107 years of age, in spite of her age, God has been gracious to her. Do you see that? In spite of her age, God has signally favored her by allowing her to gaze upon his face, the face of God. I think again. The face of God manifest in the flesh. For that day was an extra special day when she gazed upon the face of Jesus. Blessed occupation. What a wonderful answer to prayer when the Lord has written in the family history and allowed us step by step to go along with her, to see the Lord with her, and to say, now that's where happiness really lies. You know, if a Christian begins to lose out, loses the joy, loses the thrill of prayer and fellowship, it just has to be said, does it not? It's been a while since you took the time to gaze upon the face of our God. And surely the prayer is, today you need a fresh look at the Savior, a fresh look at the cross, whereby you can make a new beginning. Oh, there's a blessing here. And that word Asher, it's found elsewhere in Scripture, and notably in the Psalms there, those Psalms where the blessing comes in. You think of Psalm 1, do you? Or Psalm 32, or Psalm 119. These Psalms begin with the word Asher, or in the form that is required there in the Hebrew text. But certainly it's the root word from which we get Asher that's used there. Now look at Psalm 1 and verse 1. We haven't time to linger with it, but it says, blessed is the man. The word Asher appears there with its given grammatical form. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, where is it? Where is it? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. There's delight, there is joy. Blessed is that man. Oh, the happinesses of that man. He'll not take the way of the world. He'll not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, etc. From Psalm 1, verse 1, and those other psalms that have Ashrei in them. The blessings of God, the happiness of walking with God, exhibited in the life of Anna. Coming back to this dear lady, you can see how in verse 37 of Luke 2, she's faithful and diligent in all that she does. Now we'll stop there for a moment. Whatever you seek to do for the Lord, be faithful about it. Be diligent about it. Give your whole heart to it. Make a new start today. I was going to say if need be, but I think I can forget that. We do need to make a fresh start today. Every soul in this congregation to be faithful and diligent, as Anna is. And what shall we say? Well, verse 37 informs us she was faithful and diligent in her attendance at the house of God. If a child of God, some Christian you know, is very much up and down, they may not be faithful in their attendance at all. We have talked about membership sometime. Membership of a church, that's important. To be attached to the fellowship. To be an integral part of the church. You're a believer, you're a Christian. You should be identified with the body of his people. Get into the church. That's scriptural. And with Anna here, she departed not, the scripture says, from the temple, verse 37. We're looking at the points of merit in her life. Now, the next thing I want you to see in verse 37, but serve God with fastings and prayers night and day. Now, we may not be able to come up to her standard. Right away, we're lagging behind, are we not? But at least I can say this, let us set out, let's start, let's follow in some measure in the steps of this gracious lady. A half a loaf is better than no bread. And it won't do at all for you to say, oh, well, no, I couldn't serve God like Anna does, departing not from the temple. My life wouldn't allow that. And fastings and prayers, night and day, I couldn't keep that up. Well, let's not argue the point. We'll come back to the old saying, half a loaf better than no bread. You make a start by getting to the hour of prayer. You say, well, what are the prayer meetings of the church? Is there a prayer meeting on the Lord's Day? Yes, there are two. Is there a prayer meeting usually on a Monday night? Yes, there is. You get into the church. You give yourself heart and soul to the work of the Lord. You're identified with a congregation. You're part and parcel of the work here. For the Lord has called you here. That's the thing. And you will see that Anna's record is filled in. We didn't have to hear about Anna. The Lord could have commissioned Luke to write up the record just as he does and tell us all about the birth of Christ, and perhaps too the revolt among many in Israel and about how they would speak against Christ. Luke could have told us all that and just left Anna out of it, with not a word about her family history at all. But do you see God has slipped that into the record? Put that into the gospel so that you can say, not, I'm too old now. And I admit straight off, in case it becomes a matter of concern to you, some have better health than others. And if you can't quite do it, then the Lord understands that. All I'm saying is, look, Anna has, she's a marvelous woman, no question. She's still mobile. Her mind is clear as a bell. Her thoughts are sound. Aged as she is, and I can't quite come to make her less than 107 years of age. So if you have the mobility and if your mind is still clear, you're still really able to do it, then you should say, let me be at my utmost for God. Is that not one of the reasons why the Lord has put this into the record? That you can say, well, let me follow in her steps. Let me learn from this. And the scripture says, verse 38, she came in at that instant. There was a time when she came into the house of God. And I put it to you, she didn't come by accident. I believe that she came at the promptings of God. If she has spent this time with God in the secret place, if she could say, I'm so blessed, I'm happy, gazing into the face of my God, then for her, heaven had begun already. That's heaven and earth. No wonder the Lord uses the word Asher and makes us think of happiness and of the blessing that's there. There's a blessing for you today. Hallelujah. There's a blessing for you in the book. A blessing in walking with God. If we have the testimony of Anna before us, and we can see how she has walked with God and gave herself resolutely, serving God faithfully, diligently, day in and day out, week in, week out, year in, year out, throughout the course of a very long life. Isn't that a life well spent? Isn't that a race well run? Isn't that a battle well fought? I'm thrilled with these names. I'm thrilled with this name, Anna, because of all that it tells me, or at least makes me think about the grace of God exceeding abundant in Christ. I'm thrilled with the name Phanuel because I think of the time she spent in the house of God and in the place of prayer, gazing into the face of the Lord. No wonder she's described as a prophetess. She was bound to have good words. She was bound to have sound counsel, having spent so much time at the feet of Him who is Lord of all. Isn't there the thought there that the Lord will endow us with more wisdom, more sense than we have had before? Because whether it's a little time or much time, we have been alone with God. How long has it been since you talked to the Lord? How long has it been since you opened the book? Anna's a prophetess. That means she spoke about the Lord and she had a word from God. And although we may not see ourselves as prophets or prophetesses, because now we have the written word, you see, well, it's possible just the same for you to have a word from God today. Oh, it is. It's possible for you to get alone with God. It's possible for you to open the book. For you to say, Lord, speak to my soul. And then I'm happy. Isn't that right? Unfailingly, every time, the Lord is only to work. The Lord is only to give you a word. One word from Him, your soul is thrilled. One word from the Lord just steadies your feet. One word from the Lord seems to put everything right. The old circumstances may still be as menacing. Those old worries or the reasons for them may still be there. Those circumstances may not have greatly changed for all I can say. But I tell you this, when the Lord steps in, when the Lord speaks to your soul, you get counsel from God, you've opened the book, and you feel, God has spoken to my soul today through this word. Then all is well. The Lord will order things from then on. That's it. Asher is introduced to the text. I gave you Genesis 30 and 13 so that if your memory did begin to let you down, you could get back to it and have those words marked. Happy. Happy am I, she said. Happy is the word you mark. And the daughters will call me blessed. Blessed is the word you'll mark. And here we're given, and look, this marvelous picture just puts the pieces together like a jigsaw coming to completion. Is the Lord speaking to you today? Him asking the question, how long has it been since she talked to the Lord? And the question can be turned right around as well. It ought to be, how long has it been since the Lord talked to you? It says there, verse 38, she coming in that instant, just the very day when the Lord Jesus was brought there. That's no coincidence. That's no accident. She was there when, we can say, Jesus came, carried in the arms of His Father by adoption. Joseph is recognized in society now as His adopted father. Although we know the Savior is the virgin-born Son of the Most High, yet He's carried as a babe, and she came in that instant. And the Scripture says she gave thanks likewise, just like Simeon. Imagine the house of God and the service in God's house described here. Very important service. And the whole congregation made up of two people, two old people. Simeon said he was ready to die. And Anna, we're shown, well, she must be 107 years of age, and only two in the congregation. And if that was happening now, somebody would say, maybe with a hint of despondency, where are all the young people? Oh, we do want young people at the church, and we want them in God's presence, certainly. But just for the record, here is an occasion. The Lord's not limited. Two old people, and that's all. And yet, here is the beginning of redemption. A day of great things. And like Simeon, she gave thanks to the Lord. And she spoke about him. That was a blessing. There's an awful lot more in this portion. And maybe we'll get into that another time. But I pray the Lord will speak to us today through the word he has given. Let's sing in closing from the hymn 315.